Well, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning.
All right. Somebody has their Christmas shopping done. They're like, good morning. Love it. The rest of us are like, good morning. I'm just trying to survive. Hey, well, hope you're enjoying the Christmas season. Man, I love this time of year. And also recognize it can be a challenging time, but our hope is that we would remind ourselves and point each other to the hope and the joy that we have in Jesus. So this morning, we're going to go back and look at the text that we looked at last week and kind of bring a simplicity to Christmas, to be reminded of all of the good things that God is doing in our midst and the things he continues to do. So let's go back here. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. It's the beginning. And who is Matthew? Matthew's actually very fascinating. He was a tax collector. And so he has, as he's writing, his book is reaching out to Jews. And it's so fascinating that he writes this text because he was a tax collector. He betrayed his own people and sold them out essentially to the Romans. And so tax collectors were despised by the Jews. And so it's interesting that God would use him to witness to Jews. And so here we have a tax collector who's one of the disciples, and he gives us an account of Jesus' birth and the story of this. And so turn with me, Matthew chapter 1. It's the first book in the New Testament. We'll have it up on the screen if you're not sure where that's at. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews. Grab one of those. That's our gift to you. Take it home and enjoy it. So verse 18, here we are. So entering into the Christmas season, the story of Christmas says this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And that's where we talked about last week, how he wanted to show her honor. And God wanted to bring even a higher call of honor in her life, in Joseph's life and into Mary's life. Verse 20 continues, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And to pause, we looked at previously in Habakkuk, we've looked at prophets in the Old Testament and how they continue to point forward to Jesus. The Old Testament constantly points forward to Jesus coming. And so that's what we see even here. It says this, through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So what we are going to look at this Christmas season is how do we simplify Christmas? How do we kind of bring it back? And I wanted to share this story. I was, years ago, when I was just starting out in ministry, I was youth pastoring down in San Diego, and had one of my students, one of my football players that came to faith, and so we did everything together. He just wanted to know more about Jesus, and so I'm like, come, like, go grocery shopping with me, and I'll do yard work and different things like that, and so we would do anything and everything, and I would just kind of tell him about Jesus as we would go, and my wife's car broke down one time, and it was the starter or alternator. Where are my mechanics at? Is that the same thing? No? Okay. See, I'm not a mechanic, man. I just stick to pastoring. So that went out, like, to start it, and you had to hit that, whatever that thing is. What is that? Starter. Okay, thanks. Last sermon I said alternator. See, I'm leading people astray up here. So what happened, I brought it to a mechanic down in San Diego, and he said, hey, you know what? Good news is, I banged it with a rod, and it started, so you're good to go. He says, the bad news is, it could go out in a little bit. And so I was like, well, okay, I'll just kind of roll the dice, and we'll see how it goes. So I'm out there sometimes Christmas shopping, and, you know, in the middle of a like a the mall or something, and I'm out there like banging under my hood trying to get my car started. I'm getting dirty looks from people, and I'm like, all right, time to fix this thing. And so bring my buddy along and, you know, just one of my football players. And so we decide to go to junkyard, there it is, the junkyard. And so we found, man, I was just a poor youth pastor, leave me alone, right? I didn't have money for like the real parts. So we dig out, we find like the starter, and we just had somebody help us and point us how to find it. So we found it and we went back to my car and we were gonna try and swap these things out. And all to save a few hundred bucks, right? And so we're sitting here, and to get this thing disconnected to the engine, we are got a few of the bolts out, but then we start to try and like pull and crank, and it's not budging. And so I buy like a better socket wrench. And socket wrench, right? Yeah? No? And so I'm sitting here, and we're just, the guy I'm with, he's a strong dude. And so we're shaking, we're trying to undo this thing. And the whole car is just like, woo, 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 shaking. I'm like, I don't think this is good. I'm afraid we're gonna like break the engine here. So all day, I mean, we're just like, we got this. Like, come on, we just need to be stronger. And we're pulling, nothing is budging, nothing. Whole day goes by. I mean, we probably sat 4 hours trying to get this thing undone. You know, kicking it, yelling at it, shaking it, nothing's happening. Leave it alone. YouTube that night, somebody who's like going on says, oh yeah, all you need is leverage. So I ended up in the street. I'd found just a copper bar, stuck it on top of the wrench, and sure enough, just popped right off. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's all I needed was just a little leverage. It was something as simple. I didn't need a fancier tool. I just needed this pipe, this copper pipe, I was laying in the alley, stuck it on the wrench. All this effort, all this work I was trying to do, it was just this simple, and it was done. And then 5 days later, we were able to fix it. I don't know, it took a long time. Still, everything wasn't there. But it was the simplicity of getting that off from that copper pipe. I want us to see this morning, there's a simplicity in this story. Crazy as Christmas can be, I love the Christmas season, but it can become crazy. And what I want us to look at is the simple here. Notice this in verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Three separate times, Joseph obeys what the angel of the Lord said for him to do. So if you're taking notes, the first point is simply obey. Simply obey. There's three things that he does here. When he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. It says this, he did not consummate their marriage. So he wasn't intimate with her until their marriage day. He didn't cheat the system. He said, all right, God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And then it says he gave him the name Jesus. And we think about, he stuck around. He was in this time with Mary when a lot of people would have criticized him. Mary did what was right by the Lord, but a lot of people would have criticized the two of them because, oh, she got pregnant before you got married. And in a culture where shame and guilt is heavy, this would be even far more of a severe consequence than what we would deal with in our society. But what we see is that Joseph did what God told him to do. Some of you, I could just probably just close the book right here and you could walk out and that sermon would preach right there. What is it in your life that God has told you to do and you know you haven't been doing it? It's kind of been nagging you, and you know maybe it's a coworker or a friend or a family member, a relationship. It's a broken relationship. And you just simply need to go and make amends. You need to share a kind word with them. Or maybe it's somebody that you know you need to share about the hope you have in Jesus and telling your story. And so those cards that are in the pews or sharing on Facebook, online, you need to invite somebody to the Christmas Eve service. You know God has been putting somebody on your heart and you just haven't been doing it. You've been going off, just continuing. And so there's something about a simple obedience. This great miracle is about to happen, but it begins by simply obeying. Sometimes, don't we have plans and we say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Where do you want me to go? What neighborhood do you want me to live in? What type of house? What career? And we ask all these grand questions. Sometimes, what's my career path? What do I do? But God says, I want you to obey. I want you to obey me. Through Mary and Joseph, God ends up doing one of the greatest miracles of all time. And it begins with simply obedience. Obeying God in the little things often produces a miraculous thing. So what is God telling you to do? What is he encouraging you, nudging you, the Holy Spirit saying, oh, you need to do this. This week, I encourage you, whatever that is, do it. The simple obedience, do it. So how do we, though, some of you might be like, well, how do I do this? I don't sleep, me, for example, I don't go to sleep every night. Angel of the Lord doesn't come to me. All right, Rob, when you go into the office here, I want you to do this, call this person, reach out to this person. All right, there's your day. Now go. We don't have all of that each and every day. So how do we hear from God if we don't have God appearing to us as coming in the angel of the Lord? Now, I will say this. God can speak through dreams. I was texting Pastor Mark this last week. I had a dream that the Rams won the Super Bowl. So Rams fans, right? But probably won't happen, so then you'll know. Sorry, that's a dig, Rams fans. Sorry. I like the Rams. They're all right. They're all right. Not as good as the Raiders. Just kidding. So, where was I? Rams won the Super Bowl. There it is. All right, so how do we hear? We don't have the angel of the Lord telling us whether the Rams or the Raiders, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl. But what we do have, one of the first ways, if you're taking notes under that kind of that simple obedience, simply obey, write down, how do we hear from God? It's his word, the Bible. This might not sound like a complex sermon, but sometimes we forget about these things. There's wisdom in the Bible. I've often had people come along my life, and when I'm wrestling with something, they say, well, what does God say? Oh, yeah, good question. Well, have you prayed about it? Oh, yeah, I should pray about it. I shared the other week, I was bouncing something off one of my mentors, and I just wanted the answer from him. And he just kept saying, well, you got to pray about it. Okay, yeah, I'll do that, but what do I do? You got to pray about it. But sometimes just simply, and at the time I was so frustrated, I just wanted the answer from him. Like, you've been through this, you've known, you've pastored for years, just tell me what to do. He's like, you have to go to God. You have to go to his word. I'm not going to shortcut that. I'm so thankful. I was frustrated with him in the moment. I didn't tell him, but I was frustrated in the moment. But I'm so thankful that he got me to go to God's word and just to sit and to listen. It's that simple obedience. So God's word, do you meditate on it? Do you soak it in? You'll notice sometimes when you just meditate on it, things just pop up. I mean, you'll be doing something and all of a sudden you'll say something and then you'll have to be like, well, was that from the Bible or was that a beard commercial or, you know, what was that? And you'll know and check and be like, oh no, that was God's word. That's what came out. Not a Nike commercial, like just do it. You know, it's like, oh, to love my neighbor. Okay, that's God's word. And so when you meditate on it, God's word, he promises when you hear God's word and you share God's word, it doesn't go out in void. It always comes back with return. Here's the other thing. Romans 10:17 says this, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of God's word. And so that's why we gather together. We don't just gather together on Sundays. We've got our big blues in the pews. We don't just like pass them out one by one and say, all right, everyone break. We'll see you next year. You're good. Faith comes by, and it's not just me up here, but it's God's word being spoken. That's why we read his scriptures. That's why we're in this wonderful book. God's word, faith, supernatural things come when God's word is spoken. And it's not the person that's speaking, but it's his word that is working in hearts and minds. And so that's why we come to hear and to encourage each other. And think about this. When we come and we hear God's word, things happen. transformation happens. Last week we talked about, I shared after the first service, somebody had shared, I was about to sue my friend, my business partner, and after the week's sermon about honor and loving people, I realized that the person, my friend, is more important than the money. I'm going to drop this thing. God's word. I can't tell you how many times people come up after me and they're like, were you stalking me? Did you know I was going through that? Were you preaching on that because of that? God speaks to us through his word. And yes, I am stalking you. No, I'm just kidding. But isn't that, I mean, it time and time again, God speaks to us through his word, and it's amazing how his word, we can leave a sermon, we can leave time together with other believers when we speak, the scriptures say to speak psalms and hymns and words of encouragement to each other, because we need to be encouraged in a discouraging and sometimes a difficult world. So meditate on God's word. Whether you've got those, our big blues, or just even the YouVersion. On your apps, on your phones, that it's a wonderful, it'll shoot you a little verse of the day. Just yesterday, I've shared with, it's kind of pancake day at the Burke household, and so we're making pancakes with the girls and do them by scratch, you know, and it's really not that hard, it's just flour and sugar, right? Simple. But we're making them, and I get, bing, the verse of the day. And my girls love pancakes. It's like their whole treat of the week. It kind of tricked them, make it simple. That's the thing they look forward to most is a pancake in the morning. Saves you a lot of money. But anyway, so we're there, and I get this alert, and James 1:17 comes. Every good gift is from the Father above. And so I share that with my girls and say, girls, do you know every good gift in this Christmas season? We're talking about gifts. Every good gift is from God. Pancakes are from God. And they're like, yes, pancakes. God gives us good things. And so it was just one of these moments. We don't have to be weird about it. And sometimes we didn't just, I'm like, all right, girls, like gather around, like kumbaya. You're like, we didn't have to do that, right? I just simply said, pancakes, here, God, gift, good, simple, right? We can follow God, meditate on his word, obey him, make the complex simple. Get God's word on your tongues. Simplify your life. You'll notice your decisions. You'll get quicker in your decisions. Your choices will become easier. Well, what would God want me to do? But it's not always that simple, is it? Sometimes it's complicated. What does God want us to do? But don't we wake up time and time again? Sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night, we're worried about something, and we're thinking about it, and our minds are racing, and we wake up and can't go back to sleep because you're worried or you're stressed at work, and you're having a conversation with somebody, but you're thinking about this. Maybe it's a business proposal you have or upcoming project or presentation, and we stress about these things. But think about how often we stress about things we cannot change. Fantasy football right now. My wife keeps going, get off your phone. I'm sitting there looking at my fantasy football, and if you don't know fantasy football, I tried explaining it to my daughter the other day, and she was like, so basically, you're not really playing football? And I was like, yeah, it makes me sound a lot dumber than I think, but you're right. I'm just playing a game. And so I'm sitting here trying to look at, you know, which person to start, and really, I can't change a single thing. The players are going to play. They're going to do what they're going to do. I can't change it. But I sit here and I'm trying to figure this out. We spend so much time worrying about the things we can't change. What if we spent our time and energy towards the things in life that we can change? By simply obeying God. We worry about all these things that are up in the air. But what about being faithful with the little things that God calls us? Now let's look, because it is difficult. How do we know what God is calling us to do? Let's look at this. The second point I want us to see, it lies here in verse 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, which they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. The God of the universe, the God that spoke and the universe was formed. our whole universe that is continuing to expand at a rapid rate is just going and growing and it's expanding. This same God that spoke and gives life, that created you and me and just knows it all, and he says that this God is with us. I was speaking to our primetime group this week, and I was sharing with them about this joy to the world, and I just wanted to leave, and I was just overwhelmed with God's joy in that moment, and just thinking about, God, how good you are, and the joy, you came to bring joy, not just to me, but to the entire world. Do you get to celebrate that this Christmas season? Do you get to pause and to realize how good God is? And that he's with us. God is with us. My oldest daughter has the gift of being uncoordinated and clumsy. Actually, I think she's somewhat athletic, but she trips, she runs into, walls seem to jump out at her all the time. You know, walking down the hallway and just boom, and like starts crying, and it's like, and sometimes we'll be talking. I love like her energy and her joy, but she'll be like talking to me, and I've shared this before up here. We'll be having a conversation, and she's like talking and walking, and then all of a sudden she'll fall and start crying, and you're like, just look where you're going. You know, look and be aware, and sometimes if you're just aware of your feet, where they are, you won't trip and fall. So, I mean, even as adults, we do this. When you get caught up in something, sometimes you can trip and fall. You're not aware. If you just become aware of your feet and actually see the wall in front of you, you'll be all right. That's almost like God with us. God is always moving. He's active. He's present. And yet we're tripping, we're stumbling, and we're not aware, just aware that he's there and he's present with us and he's guiding us. So how does he guide us? How do we know what God wants us to do? Two things I want us to look at. As you pray, that we'd see, let's go to John 16:13. You don't have to turn there if it's too much finger work to flip two pages. we'll throw it up on the screen for you. But it says this, John 16:13. Jesus' words, he says this, "But when the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." So how do we know what God's will is for us? God guides us, and he promises to give us his Holy Spirit. God with us. God with you. God inside of you, that our bodies actually get to house the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit dwells among us. And then Jesus promises, he says, the Holy Spirit will guide you. So we have God's word. His Spirit is guiding us and he's shaping us. So, I mean, somebody this week was like, asking me, well, what does the Bible say about Bitcoin? I'm like, oh, well, let's go to, you know, 22, and there it is. Bitcoin, you shall do this. No, it's not there. The Bible doesn't tell us, isn't a description of everything we should do. Yet, the Holy Spirit promises to guide us into truth. Now, it's the same thing at the church. As I stand up here, this kind of a shameless plug, January 28th, mark it on your calendars. We are going to celebrate our 125th anniversary here at Wilshire. Come on. God has been working on this corner in downtown Fullerton for a lot of years. And God has been moving. And so that day, we're going to celebrate all that God has done for 125 years. And then we're also going to look forward and what is this next season look like? What is God calling us into in this area? And where does he want us to go? And so what we do, it's not just a sermon that I'm just going to show up and say, hey, this is what I think we should do. It's something I'm praying about now, have already almost written the sermon, and we've been dreaming about it. This week, presenting it to the board, hey, this is the direction we're going. Because the Holy Spirit will guide us. And then the third thing, it talks about in Acts, there's this image that I love. They're trying to figure things out and how to treat, there's disagreement among the people. And then they come to a conclusion, and it says this, that it seemed right by the Holy Spirit and right by us. I love that. It seemed right by the Holy Spirit and right by us. We gather together and we bounce ideas off each other. So if you're writing notes down there, that each one of us has the Holy Spirit and that we get to share this with each other. So God's word guides us, the Holy Spirit guides us, and then we get to bounce the ideas off each other. If you're married, bounce it off your spouse or a good friend, a confidant. Bounce it off other people. Gather together in your life groups. That's why life groups are so important. We need to hear this. I mean, imagine this. It's why we don't, like I said, we don't just pass out Bibles and say, all right, we'll see you next year. We gather together. I mean, imagine what happens if the Holy Spirit, if God is with you and God is with you and God is with you and God is with you, and we come together and we gather and we're encouraging each other, we're reminding each other, even when we worship. It's why when we sing, whether we're off key like me and we're bad singers, it's still an encouragement to other people. That's why I encourage you to fight to get here on Sundays. Because you singing off key, as terrible as it might be, you're an encouragement to the person next to you. We encourage each other by reminding why, because we have God's Spirit inside of us. We are created in the image of God, and so that when we come together, it's almost like an explosion happens in this room. Some people just say, man, I love the way I feel at church, and I guarantee it's not from everything that happens up front and on the stage. It's by you. Because God's Spirit, if you believe and trust in Him, His Spirit is alive and well in you. And so when we come together, it's just like, it's contagious. It just explodes. And I love seeing just the joy that gets shared here. I love seeing that. Know this, though. When you're seeking guidance of others, don't just seek those that will tickle your ears. Have somebody that will share and bring attention like, oh, you're off. My wife and I, we usually kind of put the girls down every night, and we'll try and teach them how to clean, but you know when you teach kids how to clean, it's not really cleaning. We're teaching them a good thing, and so it'll be good for them someday, but we still like to clean the house afterwards. And my wife is much cleaner than I am, and so we get the place spotless. She's like, hey, I do all the work. But we clean up the place. And the other day, we were just like, you know what? Let's just kind of kick back and we got it a little tidied up, but it wasn't that clean. And, good enough. And it was so funny as we're walking out and waking up, walking down the hallway, and I notice my daughter goes, she just looks around. She doesn't notice, say anything, but she goes, it's kind of clean around here. And I was just like, what is that comment? And then I realized, every morning, she's used to it waking up and the house is kind of spotless. And then she walks up and just goes, it's not really that clean around here. But she noticed. It's somebody sharing, hey, you're off your game a little bit. I think it was good for us to rest that way, but it's truth. We need somebody that says, hey, you're off your game a little bit. Maybe I need to come and encourage you and remind you of what God's word says. Not in an inferior way, like, oh, do you know? But we walk together, we encourage each other, and find people that will speak truth in your life, even if it's a little five-year-old that lets you know you're off. But that's how we find God's goodness and know that as He's entering in with us, He speaks to us, and He's present, and He reminds us, and it's through other people. But let me make this in closing. As we simply obey, we remember that God is with us, and we get that with other people as well. But we have to know, even with all of that, it can be difficult, can it? What I'm not preaching here, this sermon and Christmas is, well, you just need to simply obey and get your act together, and then you can come before Jesus this Christmas season. That is the exact opposite of what Jesus is about. That's the exact opposite of what Christmas is about. Because Jesus comes into the messiest of situations. Jesus was born in a disgusting manger. The King, the God of the universe, has no place being born in a manger. If it was up to us, we would roll out the red carpet and just have it just this grand parade, Hollywood style, and do it up. But God says, no, I come into the brokenness, into the mess. And God comes into your brokenness and your mess, all of the ways we have not obeyed Him, the way I have failed to obey Him. Jesus comes into that mess and He says, I am the only one as I lived, he was the only one that lived perfectly and obediently to God. He enters into your mess and he says, what the scriptures say, Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. I'm always present, but I'm at the door and I'm knocking. If you don't open the door, he's not coming in. He's not going to barge in like Uncle Eddie with his RV and come blasting through. He's not going to show up uninvited. He's knocking at the door and says, here I am. Would you let me in? Would you be aware of my presence? This Christmas season, would you maybe open up that door? Realizing that, hey, you know what? You might have a mess inside. You're not ready for guests in your life. But know that Jesus came not before you get your house cleaned up and ready for guests. He says, I want to come into the middle of the mess. I want to walk with you. I want to give you my spirit and guide you. Jesus enters into our mess. And don't get it twisted. It's not just about our obedience. Because what Jesus says is that God comes at the beginning of this scripture says this, verse 21, that the name of Jesus will be given because he will save his people from their sins. As the Gospels go on, we see that Jesus is not just saving his people, but look at this, at the very end of Matthew, of the book, Matthew concludes with Jesus' words. And he says this. He says, therefore, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, therefore, go and make disciples of what? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. Obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He promises from the beginning, we see simple obedience at the beginning from Mary and Joseph. And we see that Jesus calls us to obey and he promises, I came to this world in a messy place. The message says that Jesus, and we learn from John 1:14, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The message translates it, that the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. God moves into your house. The God of the universe enters into your life. He's knocking at the door and he wants to enter into your heart, into your space, into your life. He says, I want you to be aware. I'm here. I'm with you. I will guide you. So this Christmas, might you enter into a simple obedience. You might want to go out and change the world, yet God says, if you do the small, simple things, I can work a miracle through you because God is the one who brings salvation. Jesus is the one that saves. It's not up to us, but God does call us to simply obey him and trust him that God is up to something powerful. It might seem like a stupid little invitation to your friend, but by simple obedience and trusting that God is working something, that person's life might be changed for all of eternity because you step out in faith. Would you trust God this Christmas season? Would you take the small steps of obedience? And would you see that God is working? He's bringing salvation for all people, a joy to the world. May you rest in that peace and rest that God is with us now and always. Let's pray. Father, Emmanuel, God with us, we thank you that you are here and present. Father, maybe some of us have been running from you, or maybe we've kept that door shut because we feel like the mess in our world is too much. Father, you say, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Lord, you're knocking on some of our hearts right now. Lord, maybe some of us for the very first time would pray this prayer. God, I surrender. God, I want to open up my life. Lord, maybe some of us want to return and say, I want to open up my life and return to obeying you. God, I trust that you can work and do miraculous things through me because you are a miraculous God. I trust that Jesus died on the cross, that he lived the perfect life, that he died and rose again. So that you and I, that we could be free. God, we are free because of your work on the cross. Lord, we celebrate that. And with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if you prayed that in your heart, Would you just raise your hand right now? If you're returning to God, God sees you. God bless you. God sees you. God bless you. God sees you in the balcony. God bless you. May you return to God. May you share that with others as you go. And as we all go, may you know that the God of the universe is with you. In the difficult times, in the busyness of the season, God with you. And hear Jesus' words, I will be with you to the end of this age. God, we thank you for that. We love you and praise you. Amen.